World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
All right, so I got an email yesterday. Actually, I think it was two of them. It said, so Coach, you didn't mention candy on the program yesterday, so I assume that you gave in. No, I didn't give in. Still haven't had a piece of candy. In fact, walking by that candy dish is getting easier and easier every day. All the grandkids were down here yesterday. Well, that's not true. Went to three of them were down here all day long, always getting grampy pills. I wasn't tempted by one because I'm trying to help all of us develop a spiritual discipline. When I fall off of the wagon and put the first piece of candy back in my mouth, I'll let you know, okay? So I want you to know that I'm still fighting this fight and struggling along with you and encouraging you to get victory over that carnal man. In fact, one of the problems that it could almost be a burden if I permitted it to be a burden. It's not. But I want you to know that it could be. And that this is the burden that I have. What the heck do I talk about today? Every day, that's my shot. You can ask Michelle. I'll say to you, oh, my God, I could go a million different directions. Why is it? He said, what's going on? Do you guys want to talk about spiritual things? Do you want to talk about cultural things? Do you want to talk about what's going on in the church? Do you want to talk about what's going on in the government? Do you want to talk about what's going on? I could get on here. Some of you guys send me the most unbelievable guests say, Coach, you have to have this guy on. And I'll go and I'll look at a video. I think, oh my God, I got to have this guy on. But where? When? Where? How do I plug him in? Because, boy, oh boy, I'm telling you, if there was ever a time when the enemy seemed to be doubling down and coming out and pulling out all the stops, friends, it's right now, man. It is right now. And so when I come in here every day, I just try to follow the Holy Spirit and go where the Holy Spirit wants me to go with it. Sometimes it's just walking down the steps. I would have today, I prepared, if Spencer could tell you right now, if he could throw up on the screen, don't do it, Spencer, but if he threw up on the screen the list of things that I'm prepared to talk about today, you'd be amazed. And then I'm walking down the steps and I hear from the Holy Spirit, or I heard from something, and it planted another thought into my head. And I think, Lord, where do you want me to go with all of this? And I'm reminded that the scripture tells us that we are not to be ignorant of his devices. Of whose? Satan's devices. And friends, we are ignorant of his devices. Without trying to pound any pastor or beat up on anybody, the average person, when you walk in to your church coming up this Easter Sunday. By the way, why do we celebrate Easter? That's a whole nother story. See, I could do a whole show on that one. But when you walk out of, let's take Easter out of the picture. You walk out of your average everyday church. Are you in on Sunday after his sermon? You go back Sunday night, he has another sermon. Are you any more equipped to fight against the forces of darkness than when you first walked in? And are we supposed to? Or are we just supposed to glide through life, live 50, 60, 70, 75, 80 years, and then die and go to heaven and let the next guy come along? Or are we supposed to do what he said, occupy till I come, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them? What is our job as Christians? And if I can bring it back home, what's my job as a guy who's committed to trying to equip you to do the work of the ministry? What do I do? It's great frustration. It's good frustration, but it's great frustration because everybody in this queue, well, not everybody. If I said, what do you want to talk about today? And you could be honest, I'd have 15 different subjects. Vinny would start talking to me about transgenders, not making fun of you, Vinny. They're all trannies. Vinny would start talking to me about that. And Tim and Naomi would want to start talking about food. And Mark Trump would want to start talking about cyberspace. And Craig Mickle would want to start talking about solar minimum. I'm not making fun. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying I'm trying to serve up a diet here every day that's going to be relevant to everybody. And it's not easy. And I'm going to tell you this. I don't know of a show like this on the internet. Maybe you guys do. I don't know one like this where you get a chance to say what you think and what you believe. I get videos every day. People say, Coach, you got to watch this video. And I watch the video and it's one guy talking for an hour and 15 minutes, presenting evidence. And it's good, but you know, feedback on it. What am I supposed to do with it now? And all of that. So when I come down here in the morning, I just say, Lord, whatever. Whatever it is. Yeah, somebody, do not celebrate the pagan holidays. We should talk about that, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we have an entire program on why Christians shouldn't celebrate Easter? Yet, it is the primary, it's the highest holiday in all of Christianity, Easter Sunday. Folks, it ain't Christian. I'm sorry if you don't understand, Easter is not Christian. It's pagan in its roots. Do I have time to talk about that today? Am I going to make some of you mad if I talk to you about it today? And we look everywhere we look across the spectrum. You run up and down Facebook and it's nothing but pastors talking about their Easter Sunday service, what they got coming up on Easter Sunday. It's everywhere we look. And why is it? I think it's because we are in fact ignorant of his devices. Or if you were to sit down, if I were to ask you right now, what is the goal of Satan? Could you answer that? What's Satan's goal? Is Satan's goal to make you sick? Is that what it is? Is Satan's goal to steal your joy? Is Satan's goal to mess with your finances? What is the job of Satan? And if we are baptized, if we are transformed from the kingdom of darkness, meaning we used to be on Satan's team. We used to be, folks, listen, you're born on Satan's team. You understand that? It's not like Little League and you have to go sign up. You're born on Satan's team. And somewhere along the line, you have to be transformed, the Bible says, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. There's only two kingdoms. And the battle is the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman in every aspect of your life and my life. That's the ultimate battle. And we could say, well, yeah, it's about heaven and hell. Well, it is, but not really. I mean, it is, but not really. Not really, it isn't. It's a larger, how long are you here? How long are you here? I have the heart, just bear with me a second. I have the hardest time realizing I'm 68 and a half years old. Or as the young kids would say, I'm 68 going on 69. As if I could go backwards, 68 going on 67. I'd rather do that, but you don't get a chance to do that, right? And so I ask myself every day, Lord, how much longer and how much more effective can I be? And what is it that you would like me to do, Lord, to expand your kingdom? Because the day's going to come when I ain't going to be here anymore. And everything that I've done is going to be what? Vanity, vanity. We read that in Ecclesiastes, all's vanity, everything. Everything that I'm doing for my life, everything that I'm accumulating, everything I'm learning, everything I do in the end is going to be vanity. It's not going to be worth a hoot in hell. If I don't take what I have here and now and use it for here and now to advance the kingdom of God. But until we understand what our role as Christians are, we don't even know what we're doing here. So doubling back, my burden is every day. What do I show them today, Lord? What do I show them? Because I cannot in my own life get by in everything I see and do. My mind's wired this way now. I see everything black and white, good and evil. I see everywhere I look. Everywhere I look, I see. It pops out on me. It's like they're wearing a uniform. And I can't believe others can't see it. And I can't believe that others can't see the weapons of our warfare. I can't believe that others can't see the deception. How can you wear a mask outside? How can you take that vaccination? But see, no matter how much I say it, Some of you don't get it. People don't get it. It's so obvious. This is wet. This is dry. What do you mean you can't see it? This is on fire. This isn't. This is smoking. This is absolutely that obvious and plain to me, obviously. And folks will send me YouTube videos and say, Coach, you got to watch this YouTube video. And I watch 30 seconds of it. And I say, no chit. I get it. I don't have to watch the rest of it. I get it. We spoke about it the other day, and the whole idea of deception. What is going on? Why does the devil want to deceive us so much? What is the ultimate? Is it just to keep me from going to heaven? Really? Is that really it? The devil rebelled against God just to keep little old me from making it to heaven. It's bigger than that, man. It's bigger. And sadly, we don't get it. We don't understand it. And so I'm just venting a little bit today because I did my ready list today of stuff to talk about. And I said, Lord, where do I begin? Where do I begin? And where did I begin in such a way that the folks who are watching are going to benefit from it? I don't want it to be just another talk show where me and Larry argue back and forth and Roger throws something in there and Steve Deck dumps something on top of us and Craig Mickle comes in and he throws I enjoy it, but if it's not propelling us to action, if our eyes aren't being awakened and alerted to what's going on, it's vanity, vanity, all's vanity. So I have vented today, and I want some of you to know something's going on with my emails. I don't always get your emails. And then all of a sudden I'll get one 3 weeks from now and I'll say, well, hell, you didn't respond to the last one. I'm telling you, it ain't showing up. Craig Mickle told me he sent me an email last night. Hey, Craig, I ain't got your email. It isn't here. I don't know how often that's happening. I don't know what's going on. But praise the Lord. It's all good. Last day of March 2021. Tomorrow's April Fool's Day. We are being played for fools. Craig, you want to come in? Your hands up. Myra, Craig, come on in. And don't start talking about solar minimum. Don't start talking about solar minimum already, Craig.
I ain't going to. I took my hand down.
Mistake. Okay. I'm just kidding, man. I'm just kidding. Do you guys have any idea how many good guests I could have on this show? But see, I feel a little bit guilty because I haven't still completed what I was trying to do from 2 weeks ago. When we start talking about the carnal nature, I still haven't got by that. I don't think I've hammered that enough yet. But I don't want this to be a church. I want this to, I don't know. I don't know what I want. What do you guys want this to be? That's what I want it to be. What can I bring to the table? What can we talk about? I throw it on the table. We chew it up. What? So I don't want it to be necessarily always totally driven by me. But I'm the guy sitting behind the microphone and kind of the way it works. Myra, come on in. You'll brighten my day, I'm sure.
Good morning, saints. How are you? Awesome. I just want to say thank you so much. Praise Jesus for this show.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I just keep coming back because it is so good. Thank you so much, Coach.
Bless you. Bless you, Myra. It is good. And I don't care what any of us said. I don't know another show like it. I just don't know. And it's great. I mean, it's great. But at the same time, I'm trying to reach the needs. Okay, so I got a job for y'all. Okay, I got a job. Hey, Spencer, pull up Defend the Filibuster if you could. Do you guys, without going into too much depth, do you guys understand what's going on with House, what is it, HB, whatever that thing is? But they're trying to bring about, yes, just leave that up on the screen, Spencer, if you can make that bigger, right there. First of all, they're trying to destroy the filibuster. Now, if you guys know what the filibuster is in Congress, it's where the Senate can literally run the clock out on legislation. We have a 50-50 Senate right now, and the Senate's 50-50, but Camel Toes Harris is the deciding vote. So basically, it's in control of the Democrats. 50-50, Democrats in control. And they're trying to pass – one of the things they're trying to do now is they're trying to do away with the filibuster, meaning a simple majority vote will now carry all action in Congress. Now, why do they want to do that? In the Senate, why do they want to do that? Because they have the majority. It's 50-50 with Camel Toe Harris, right? So what we need is to make sure that just one of the senators, Democratic senators, doesn't vote for the throwing away the filibuster. That's all it takes. If we just flip one, and two people that seem to be really, really important. See, I don't know if you'll do this or not. I don't know if you'll do this or not. But what I have up on the screen right now, and I don't know, Spencer, if there's a way that we put this into the chat or not. It is imperative for everybody here in this queue and everybody watching this show to contact Senator Joe Manchin and Senator Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona, two blue senators in red states, and tell them to defend the filibuster. Now, you're going to say, well, Coach, that's not my, I don't live in West Virginia. Joe Manchin isn't my senator. Well, I don't care. What he does impacts you. What Kyrsten Sinema does impacts you. And we have got to bombard. You don't have to say much. You don't have to say much. You just got to call Joe Manchin and say, because maybe it'll be gone to a recording anyway. It may be a live person. It could be. But all you got to do is please just say, hey, please, Senator Manchin, please do not do away with the filibuster. Please don't do away. We've elected a Republican form of government. Please help us keep it. That's it. Hang up. Call the next one. Please, Senator Sinema, we have a Republican form of government. Please don't destroy the filibuster. That's all you have to say. Yeah. Well, they're going to, maybe if they answer you, they're going to ask, where are you from? You don't say, listen, I don't even live in your district. But this impacts me. Come on, man. This impacts me. So that's our action plan today. Okay. I'm going to get this out in the form of an email, but it's right there on the screen. Spencer's going to somehow figure out a way to get that into the chat. Folks, we have to do that. This is so simple. So simple. Just pick them up and say, please defend the filibuster. Please, because see, if they defend the filibuster, then H.R. 1, which is a frontal attack on Christianity in the church, H.R. 1 will not pass. We just need one senator to not vote for, one Democratic senator to not vote for it. That's all it takes. And it won't pass. Because if they can flip the filibuster, meaning they need 60 votes, right? If we can flip the filibuster, then the legislation doesn't get passed. And we make it to another election. Well, maybe we can flip. You with me? I don't want to get bogged down on this. This, folks, this is one of Satan's devices. What you're looking at right here is one of Satan's devices. And are we going to be ignorant of it? Oh, wait a minute. I get it. I get it. It's what the Bible says will happen in the end times, Coach. That's what the Bible says. So there's really no reason for us to fight against that because, after all, Jesus came as a lamb, not a lion. Right? So we're going to get the government that we deserve. We have to fight on two fronts here. We have to fight on the federal with Manchin and Sinema. And then we have to begin to work locally to try to straighten things out. Okay? All right? It's a great, right, Brett? It's a play. Let's run this play. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. And if Joe Manchin gets 100 phone calls, it'll have an impact. They're tallying them. It's all we can do. Get your friends to do it. Get your wife to do it. Get your children to do it. Bombard them. It is a play that we can win. Anybody got a comment on that? Because I'm going to move into some heavier stuff. But I wanted to make sure that our crew, this crew here, knew. In fact, I don't know how you copy this. How will we get this to him, Spencer? Whatever. Because you can copy this and just send it to your friends. Say, play, please, just call these guys. Now, we know this, right? Most people won't do it. And of the 82 people in here, most of you aren't going to do it. You're not going to do it. Why? Oh, it makes you uncomfortable. You've never done it before. It's out of your comfort zone. We're not supposed to get involved with politics. By the way, I want to... Holy Spirit smacked me in the face on that one coming down. This morning, I'm going to jump in there and go. Reggie, come on in. Hey, hang on a minute, friends. Hang on. If you do any statistics at all on child trafficking, you will be shocked at how many missing children there are in the United States of America every month. Does anybody know where those kids end up? And can somebody tell me something? Why didn't anybody give a shit? Pardon my French. Why didn't anybody care? Oh, we're going to get people saved. We got to go get them saved. We don't even do that, right? We don't even go get them saved. And somehow along the way, somehow, they are ravaging little children. They're murdering them in the womb. Oh, wait a minute. Perhaps that would be one of Satan's devices. Could that be? I wonder. Come on in, Reggie.
Good morning, everybody. I just want to say, well, you touched my heart on that subject with the children. Anyhow, going back to what you were talking about, I just want to make a point. I know you said something, and it got to me because I hear it all the time with the children as well. And people are so indifferent to a level that I don't understand. It's demonic when I don't understand it. I don't understand it. So I will make those phone calls today because I'm a warrior. And St. Paul says we're fighting against principalities and powers. And we go down, everybody thinks they know what revelations or what the word means we don't. We don't know what's going to happen. And we're supposed to go down fighting as soldiers of Christ and let God do the rest. If that's what happens, that's what happens. But we don't give up and just sit back in our armchair and say, it says in Revelations this is happening. I see the signs. Might as well. We're going to lose anyways. Just sit back and enjoy the rest of my life. It makes me mad. I'm sorry.
Amen. Well, I'm with you, Reggie, which, by the way, Larry, I'm going to let you jump in here a minute. But just before I let Larry jump in here a minute, I want to revisit from yesterday the whole idea of Jesus didn't get involved in politics. I'm going to revisit that. I want you to be thinking about that right now and your reaction to what we talked about yesterday. Go ahead, Larry. Come on in.
Yeah, if we're not supposed to be fighting in this battle, where are all the martyrs that show up around the throne of God, as described in the book of Revelation, coming from?
Well, those are Old Testament, Larry. Those are Old Testament guys. See, Jesus came in the age of grace. We don't need any martyrdom anymore, Larry. Larry, you got to get a better, you have to get an NIV or NASB or something like that. You're still reading that old King James Bible where God was mad and mean. And Larry, he got born again in the New Testament. That old mean God, he ain't mean anymore, Larry. He's now loving and caring. And like Mr. Rogers, why can't we all get along? It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. So, Larry, get your mind out of that Old Testament, that old mean God. Jesus is now loving and caring, all right? Come on, Larry. So, listen, friends. I want us to think about the political situation that Jesus Christ found himself in. Because that's I get a lot of emails on that. People asking me, Coach, how do you answer this? And the question is always, Jesus wasn't involved in politics. And I enthusiastically took that on yesterday. But I wondered, do any of you have any feedback on that? Do you guys understand that Jesus Christ was not a Roman citizen? Do you understand that he was not under the authority of the Romans? And do you understand that the political system that was set up in the times of Jesus Christ was the temple leaders, the Sanhedrin, the kings, the folks, those were the ones who Jesus was under the authority of. Now, they didn't have elections. I don't know how they picked the members of the Sanhedrin. I don't know. They had the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I don't know how this political system within Judaism worked. Maybe I'm too ignorant to explain that to you. But friends, it wasn't a government of the people, by the people, and for the people like we have in America today. Jesus had no voice. He had a voice with the Sanhedrin, with Caiaphas and all those guys. But he didn't have a voice with Herod because Jesus wasn't under Roman. We're living in the United States of America today where we are the government. We are the government. Government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Government shall be upon his shoulders. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Jesus Christ himself went into the temple government and flipped over tables. He went to the religious leaders, government, and called them names. Brood of vipers, whitened sepulchers full of dead men's bones, casting heavy burdens on the people. Sort of like the government we have today. Jesus went to the governmental system of its day, the religious governmental system, and he flipped it upside down. For anybody to say that Jesus Christ was not involved with politics is flat out ignorance, friends. Jesus Christ, religion is politics. Politics is religion. Wake the heck up. Wake up! And it's like it's just been years and years and years of conditioning that the pulpit is sacred and it won't talk about the secular. Well, what did Jesus say when he said, go ye into all the world? What did he mean when he said that? When you walk into church on Sunday, the pastor should be talking to you about how to go into all the world. And do what? Teach them to observe all I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Let's get an attorney in here. What do you think, Roger? Are you trying to get in, Roger, or did you step out? I'll get Dale in.
Jesus did not necessarily care where the bridge was built. You know, he didn't go into politics and decide what the budget was and what road was going to be fixed. But he certainly was in politics about the moral issues of the day.
He did. And Roger, he went right to the leaders. He went and challenged. Remember when Jesus is on trial? What was Jesus? Does anybody know? I know you do. What was Jesus Christ found guilty of? What was he found guilty? When Caiaphas stood up and ripped his cloth, his vest off of it. So you got a judge sitting in there wearing his robe, and after Jesus comes in and the trial before Caiaphas and before those guys, at the end, what does Caiaphas do? He stands up and rips his vest, rips his robe. And what was that a sign of? Guilty. Guilty. Caiaphas found Jesus guilty. And they said the penalty for that is death. And then they got together and they argued and they said, listen, hey, what are we going to do, man? We don't have a death penalty. There's no death penalty here in Judea. What are we going to do? So they take him to Pilate.
And Dave, what was the guilty? What was it for? What had he done wrong?
Did
he misappropriate budgetary monies? No.
No, no.
He called them out and proclaimed who he was.
That's
which
right.
was in direct contrast to the political environment of that day.
Bingo. Is that not it, folks? Is that not it? And they said, well, what are we going to do with this guy? Because if we leave him going like this, he's going to flip our entire political system upside down. We got to get rid of this guy. Let's go to Pilate. Pilate said, what are you bringing him to me for? I got no power. And they got him in a back room, made a back room deal with Pilate. Pilate said, okay, I'll crucify him. But Pilate didn't want to crucify him, if you remember that, right? Pilate, what did he do? Pilate said, I got a way out. Let's let the people decide. So Pilate takes him. Pilate's standing there. On one side, you got Jesus. On the other side, he's got Barabbas. And he goes to the people and says, hey, because I'm a great guy here. Once a year, I'm going to let you all decide. I'm going to do a sacrifice here. I'm going to let you all pick. I'm going to set one of these guys free. This guy here, this Barabbas, he's murdered temple guards. He's murdered Roman centurions. This dude is sentenced to death. And then we got Jesus over here, and Jesus has claimed to be king of the Jews. Political! Jesus has claimed to be president of the Jews. So people, what do you want? Would you want Barabbas to be set free here? Or you want this dude here who's crazy and says he's king of the Jews? Who do you want set free? And what happened? The Democrats got involved and went around, stirred everybody up. And what did they say? Give us Barabbas! Give us Barabbas! And then Pilate goes back and washes his hands. He didn't like the decision. I don't want to do this. How can you say that Jesus Christ was not involved in politics? He flipped the entire political world upside down. Because why? He stayed in his lane. And his lane was, as Mark Rogers said, the moral aspect of the law. And he got on the Pharisees and the Sadducees and said what? He says, you're teaching his commandments, the doctrines of men. You're laying heavy weights on these people, and they can never get out from under them. Boy, that piss them off.
Dave,
yes.
prior to the cross, the political power said, hey, listen, give me a few cows and burn them up and cook them. Jesus said, no, that is politically wrong.
That's
I am the way. I am the truth. And him going to the cross laid out how sin is redeemed and how you are restored. And then his political followers, the 12 disciples, took it to the street. It was all political.
Everything.
The moral issues of the day, and maybe every once in a while they spoke out about a bridge.
Amen. I'm in. Come on. Let me get Dale in. Come on in here, Dale.
So what was he guilty of? Truth. And we better get used to it, because that's what comes down when you stay, like you say, in your lane. He was guilty of truth. And when you do the parallel, and when you look at that, they didn't mind him prior to Matthew chapter 21. It was after Matthew 21 where he comes in, and the first order that he brings is order. He brings the whip inside their flipping tables. What does it say in Peter when the Son of Man comes back? Judgment begins where? At the house of the Lord. Then what becomes of the ungodly? This is the government system, the immoral system. So why did they, when Pilate offers up Barabbas or Jesus, did they choose Barabbas? Not because they loved Barabbas, because they hated truth.
Amen. Hey, listen, Spencer, I just sent you an email. I got my buddy Terry Ladrick working on this t-shirt for me. And because this is one of those paradigms that we have to shift. Did you hear me there, Spence? Can you get that? I'm sorry. Pull up that. I just sent you an email. Pull up that image on that email. Come on in, Randy. Then Craig. Hang on, Randy. I'm working on this shirt. This is the first one that Terry made. Jesus was an activist. And the back of the shirt says, everything is political. Everything is political.
Amen.
Jesus was an activist. If you think it's not political, boys and girls, every aspect of your life that you're walking in, there is a political component to it. Come on in, Randy.
It's a great shirt, Coach. I'll be getting some of those, because there is no distinction, Coach, between the law of God and government, period. Amen. If you read Matthew chapter 15, 1 through 9, it's talking about what they did. They made the law of God, not just in the synagogue law, but the law of the government. Of everything we base our law on, Coach, was based on Deuteronomy, Levitical law. Okay, we've got away from that. Because why? We have set bad traditions, and we've changed the rule of God, the rule of law. And we've done the same thing they did.
That's right. So, Randy, here's the way I take it. See, folks, when Jesus, 1 John 3:8 says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, he would destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8, right? For this purpose was the Son of God manifested. There it is. He that committeth sins of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's the mission statement. That's why Jesus came, to destroy the works of the devil. Now, we better figure out what those works are, but that's why he came. And then when Jesus hangs on the cross, what's the last thing he says? Next to the last thing he says? The last thing he says is, into your hands I commend my spirit. That's the last thing he said. But the next to the last thing that Jesus said was, it is finished. What was? This old religious system. It's finished. It's done away with. I did it. I destroyed the works of the devil, which, by the way, the enemy had co-opted the religious system and had turned it into something that it wasn't. And Jesus came in and said, listen, I'm going to set things right here. I'm going to destroy what the devil has done to religious tradition. I'm going to do away with that. Some traditions are good. I'm going to do away with that. And there's going to be a new way, a new covenant. I'm going to lay down my life for them, and they will lay down my life for me, and we will have a partnership, and then we're going to advance. That's the way I read it, folks.
Hey,
that's the way.
Coach, I don't mean to interject real quick to prove what you just said, that he did away with the old religious system. And many a times we don't read about this. I don't know why, but it's in Matthew. The veil was torn from top and to bottom. That thing was huge.
Just like Caiaphas. Just like Caiaphas.
Coach, then what happened? It says the graves in Jerusalem opened, and they that were dead arose and walked through this. Could you imagine? Uh-uh. Could you imagine being in Jerusalem and the dead people are just walking all over the place?
Ooh. Where's Michael Jackson? Beat it, or whatever that was. Thriller. Yeah, I know. Must be. Come on in. Randy, you're still hanging on then, Craig. Go ahead.
Coach, yeah. Coach, what I wanted to point, Jesus used one law. He used one law in this Matthew 1, chapter 15. He said, the honoring your father and your mother. I mean, Coach, you don't have to be a Christian and be in a church and say, well, this government shouldn't be, our government's different. I mean, we're in the church system. There's no distinction, Coach. What I'm trying to point out is today people that say, I don't want to be, I don't have to be political. Well, do you believe in honoring your mother and your father? That's a law. I mean, that's one of the Ten Commandments. But what Jesus was showing is that you people have made this religious. They were letting them off if someone was guilty of that, if they would pay temple tax, if they would give them money for their temple.
By the way, that's right.
They were extorting them. This is the same thing that's going on today. It's exactly the system of today. There's no difference.
Because God judges the heart, not the outward action, although the outward action matters, right? That's not what it was about. And so we live in this. Ask yourself this very simple question. If Christians aren't supposed to be in politics, very simple question, what would America look like if the Muslims took over the government? What would it look like? Would the Muslims put their religion at the forefront of the government if they did that? Well, all we got to do is look around the world and we know it, right?
Who would stop them?
So if the secularists get in control of the government, what do you suppose government would look like? Well, what if the Christians were to get in control of the government? What do you think the government would look like? Now, can somebody explain to me why Jesus Christ would not want Christians to be in charge of government? Why would folks, I'm telling you, if you, there's something wrong with your brain. If you think Christians aren't supposed to be involved with politics, come on in, Craig, you've been hanging there a long time. I'm sorry.
No, thank you. Well, it's a good discussion, Coach. And it talks really about, is morality established by politics? Or is politics established by morality?
Oh, my goodness.
Is it the worst part? And what's happening is, Coach, this is going to just what you're talking about with sin. It's a mindset. What has been put into the people that attend church's mind? Separation of church and state. Well, that's a lie. And what? If we do this, we're going to lose our 501c3 status. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that has been permeated into everybody's mind.
It has.
At the church. Okay. And what they need to realize is okay, your morality is being implemented by politics. Okay. So it's your job to defend the morality. And what you're saying is, and someone would say, okay, why should I call these people about, the filibuster? Okay. This is how it's important, because they want to take the filibuster down so they can take to whatever the next morality issue is, whether you can have 6-year-olds having sex with adult men and that's legal. Okay. That's why they're taking that down.
That's
okay.
Right.
They're not taking it down about the bridge. They're taking it down because they see that as the that's stop right. to get their morality that they politics wants the morality. That's why we almost have to retrain the church and the mindset.
Hey, Craig,
of those.
Yes, we don't understand Satan's devices, do we? We don't understand it.
The church doesn't. That's the problem.
They're
supposed to.
If we understood Satan's devices, by the way, world conquest. Satan wants to be king of the world. Satan wants the job of Almighty God. Satan wants that job. And if we can't see that he's doing everything he can in every area he can to claim that position, I don't know what to listen.
We don't need to, coach. We just need to pray. We just need to pray, coach.
Jesus said, go ye into all the world and do what? Teach them to observe all I have commanded you. Now, to me, that's a pretty clear mandate, isn't it, boys and girls? Are we teaching them? Are Christians today teaching the world to observe everything he's commanded us? And the answer is clearly no. No, we're not.
Amen.
We're letting them, they're teaching them just the opposite. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Mark. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, Coach. This is so sad. I think everyone's bubbling over with what's going on. Apologies for interrupting, Coach. It's just sad. Because the answer is doing nothing.
And that's unacceptable. They're marketing children, and we don't even care, right?
Amen. Martin,
we don't even care. They're teaching homosex to our children, and we don't even care. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that we don't care. Come on in, Roger. Got all the lawyers jumping in here today. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know why I'm talking so much this morning. I'll try to shut up here in a second.
That's all right.
I try to do is, you know, Dale mentioned Matthew 21, and I always try to go to where the scripture guys and gals presented. You know, in Matthew 21, prophecy is fulfilled as Jesus rides in on the ass, you know what I'm saying? He rides in, you know, this meek man, he's on an ass, and just, you know, a lowly guy, down with the people.
A lamb, just a lamb, Roger, just a lamb riding in, right?
That's part of the story. That's part of the story. The other part is wholly different. And we are being taught the meekness of him riding in on a lamb, down with the people, a commoner, and all of that is biblically correct and true. But it doesn't end there, and Easter tells us it doesn't end there.
Okay, so listen, this is off color. I don't care. Anybody in here think Jesus Christ didn't have some stones? Huh? You think that boy didn't have some stones? You won't even go stand up at a school board meeting, and he went to the leaders of his government, the Jewish leaders, and called them whitened sepulchers full of dead men's bones. That was a lamb doing that, wasn't it, boys? He goes, that's a lamb. What a lie. What a lie from the pit of hell. What a lie.
Boom.
Matthew 28, real quickly. Matthew 28. Can you pull that up there right at the end? I don't know what we do with this. I think I'm in the right spot. Go to the very end. Go to the very end. Clear at the end. Go. Clear. There it is. And Jesus, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, but not in the government. I listen, boys, I'm in control of everything that goes on beside Washington, D.C. Sorry, I'm taking my hands off of that one. You know, we're not going to mess with the D.C. We'll worry about everything else, but I don't have any power in D.C. I got no power over the Supreme Court. Wish I did, boys. I wish I did, but I ain't got any power over them. Crazy, right? He says, because all power has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth and in Washington, D.C., and in my local city council, I want you to go. And I want you to go, and I want you to teach all of them boys and girls and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And do this for me, will you? Will you teach them to observe everything that I've taught you guys? Will you do that? And he said, when you go do that, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. But please, please, don't mix politics with religion. Please, please. Listen, I'm king of everything, but hey, don't take me into the halls of politics. I'm about the sacred. I'm not about the secular. Sorry, secular is off, it's off my table. We are freaking idiots.
All nations, coach.
That's, by the way, I believe they call that the Great Commission, isn't it? The Great Commission. And Jamie Walden would say that that is a military assignment. You are commissioned to do something. Commissioned, ordered by God to do what? Teach them to observe all things whatsoever. Are they doing that in your schools? Well, coach, we can't do that because the government's in charge of our school. Well, how the hell did they get in charge of the schools? Huh? Wake up. Oh, man, this is good. MT, is that you? Is Mark Trump? Are you now got a new logo up there, Mark? Are you MT? If you are, come on in.
No, not quite, Dave. It's Matt Tate.
Oh, Matt. Good to hear you, Matt.
Well, you know, you talked about a little bit about not understanding what the devil's capable of doing. If you look up this verse 20, is probably the most important, one of the most important verses around. And that word observe, if you look up the word observe in the 1828 Dictionary of Webster's, there's a couple of different definitions. And even in Merriam-Webster's dictionary, they point out that there's a couple of different definitions. One is to actually practice something. The other is to watch paint peel. Now, I really do believe that somehow the devil has made sure that this word observe was in there instead of the word practice.
Yes.
Because if people were to practice what Jesus had taught us had commanded us, this world would be a totally different place. But if all we're doing is observing it,
we don't stand a
chance, because the devil makes daggone sure that just observing is not going to make a difference in how we behave, what we do, what we think, and what we say.
Boom. That's a mic drop, Matt.
What's that?
That's a mic drop, brother.
This word practice and observe, I'm writing about this in my book. I've been working on this book for over 10 years now. But this word observe, and I tell you what, Dave, this is critical. This is so interesting. I just tuned in about a minute or two before you put this verse up there.
I just tuned in.
It's almost like God said, I want you to mention this morning, because it's critical for everybody. And we need to emphasize this and talk to people about it. Are you practicing what Jesus commanded us to do? Because if you're not practicing it, you're not a Christian. You can observe it all day. You can read that Bible all day long. And that's what a lot of people do. But they don't actually observe the commands that Jesus taught us. When we start and do that, it's a whole different world. This will be a whole different country.
Matt, we threw it up on the screen, Matt. Number five, observe, is from Webster. It says to keep or adhere to in practice, to comply with, to obey, as to observe the laws of the state, to observe the rules and regulations of a society. So, Matt, you are so true. We are standing by observing. We're peanut gallery folks, right? When he said, go into all the world and teach them to stand and watch what goes on. That's not what he said, is it? Teach them to practice, to comply with, and to obey.
That's the key. When we start doing that and teaching others, the problem is we don't teach others then. If we're not practicing, we're not teaching anybody else to practice. So what happens? Hell yes, a person can go into the voting booth and vote for whoever they want. You know, there was just an article I read on about it, two black women. You know, the article read that, you know, both women are Christians. Both women go to church. One supports abortion and the other one supports life. The difference is what they practice. The one woman is practicing her religion, so to speak, her commitment to God, her love for Jesus Christ. The other people are just observing it.
Wow.
Yeah, I observe it, but I don't do it.
Mic drop, Matt. You get a varsity letter today, bud. Thanks for having the Holy Spirit dump you in here in the midst of us.
Well, yeah, he did it. I sure didn't do it.
My goodness.
God bless you.
Bless you, Matt. MBH Digital. Come on, folks. I'm trying to get first timers in. Come on in, bud.
Hey, it's Liberty Mel here.
Oh, hey, Mel.
So for the last 2 weeks, I've been going to the commissioners' meetings in Fairfield County, and it's just really kind of amazing how disrespectful some of the commissioners are. Yesterday I went, and one of the people was, you know, one of the residents was, you know, talking about the PCR test and the calibration. One of the commissioners was on his cell phone. So I took a picture. I was in the back of the room. So I got a picture of the person, you know, talking and the commissioner on his cell phone. And I put it on Facebook. And I asked the question, is this how the kind of respect that we should expect from our elected officials? So I kind of created a firestorm there. I try to keep thinking of action pieces that I can do. So yesterday, instead of testifying myself, I sat in the back of the room and I just read imprecatory prayers out of the book of Psalms the whole time, because I just feel like it's an evil place there. So anyway, I made a couple of plays yesterday. So doing my part.
We're making progress. We're making progress, folks. Got to get actively involved. Let me throw this one up there real quick. Then I'm going to get Dale in here, Jeff and Paul Webb. I got to throw this up there. Put up miscarriages. How about this one, folks? Trust the science. Trust the science. Look at this. March 30th, 2021. Yeah. What? Miscarriages skyrocket 366% in 6 weeks due to COVID vaccines. Huh? You hearing that? You hearing that, friends? No. They're not covering. Fauci ain't talking about that one, is he? Huh? Not hearing that. Bill Gates ain't talking about that. Miscarriages up 366% in 6 weeks due to COVID vaccines. Praise my goodness. Come on in, Dale. You've been waiting a while. I'm sorry.
Well, no, brother, you ain't got to apologize. This is good. And what Matt was talking about was fantastic. And this is going to pet the kitty the wrong way. The fur's about to fly.
Good.
I went and just had to confirm what I was reading in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. All of those command to go. You know what he doesn't command them to do? Pray about it. Pray about it. He doesn't. And none of them. Brother, I'm just telling, I understand we got to pray. What are they doing observing? They're practicing the religiosity of what I'm praying about it over here. God did not command them to pray about it. He commanded them to go. Just what Liberty Mel did. Go, go. When you get there, maybe you'll pray while you're there like she did, precatory prayer, but he did not command them to pray. He commanded them to go.
Hey, another mic drop. Come on in, Jeff and Paul Webb.
I'm going to change my name to the Walking Pyro. Because I'm going to the commissioners meeting this morning, and they developed a master plan. The master plan is part of the United Nations Sustainable Development 2021 programming mind. It's just so frustrating, Coach. But I'm going to push the word of God and let them have it.
Your job is just to go and tell. Go and tell. That's all you're supposed to do, right? Go and tell. Go and tell. That's it. Come on in, Paul.
Hey, Coach. Good morning. How you doing?
Awesome, brother. Thanks.
You know, it's funny. I've been studying the scripture, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. I believe this is the one. And basically, it just talks about that you've been created in Christ, but that we've been created in Christ for good works that God prepared beforehand and that we're to walk in them.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Your salvation is not of works. Lest any man should boast. Talking about your salvation, not saying works is wrong, talking about the gift is without works. No man can say he earned it. Watch this, though. Why? For we are his. Whose, Paul? Whose? His workmanship. Right? We're right. His workmanship, created in Christ unto what works? Good works, right? And unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in that. What should we walk in? Good works. Should we teach others to walk in good works? Go into all the world, teach them to walk in good works. Are we supposed to do that? No, we don't. I'm sorry, but we don't mix the sacred and the secular here. We don't get involved with politics. That's not what we do here. We're not of this world. We're just passing through. And by the way, as we're passing through, we're accumulating campers and houses and boats and motorcycles. Mm. We're accumulating all this stuff as we pass through. But this isn't our home. This is what a bunch of freaking hypocrites we are. Come on in, Vinny. Go ahead.
I just had a question. I got here late. Did you get some backlash from what you said yesterday?
No, I got ahead of it. There's probably some coming. I got ahead of it. I don't care. Hey, if I get backlash, I know I'm over the target, Paul. So thanks.
No, you're great, man. Good job.
Thanks for covering for me there. Come on in, Vinny, then Larry, then Craig.
Hey, good morning, guys. No, great show. I got nothing to say, but I love it. Love it. Give it to me, brother.
Thanks, brother. Hey, why are they, Gary Dunlap, just why are they pushing vaccines, you suppose? Huh? Wait, but you see, it's killing babies. It's killing old people. What else? Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming Son of Man. Something going on here, isn't it? Hey, listen, but don't get involved because I don't want the sacred to touch the secular. Heaven forbid that would ever happen. Who's up? Is Larry up? Who did I say? Larry, then Craig?
Yeah, you know, Ephesians 2, 8 is still up here. And this is one of the things that the Holy Spirit pointed out to me when I was sitting in that jail cell, is one of the main reasons that so many people think they're Christians and Jesus is going to send them to hell, as is mentioned in Matthew chapter 7. One of the main reasons is people have the wrong understanding of grace. They think that grace is the free gift. But yeah. Ephesians 2, 8 doesn't say that. It says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that the faith that there is referring to the faith that's right. Not of yourselves, it is that's the right. Gift of God. Faith, amen, is the gift, Not Amen. Grace. Grace is something we move into by activating faith towards God.
Boy, there's some mic drops in here today. Come on in, Craig, then Mel.
Well, we can use Galatians 6:10. Says, therefore, as we have opportunity, and our government provides us the opportunity. Okay. One thing is there wasn't a lot of politics back in the Romans because they just came in and conquered you. Okay. They let you do what you want to do. Alexander the Great, not a lot of politics in that.
Not a lot of voting going on there, wasn't
it? Not a lot of voting going on. But what we need to understand is under our current system, as long as it lasts, we have an opportunity. So to go and do good for all, well, that's doing good for all is when we're telling them the truth about morality issues, right? That's
and that thing. Is politics.
So we are carrying out a good thing because we're following biblical truths.
It's politics, brothers and sisters. Politics. Who did I say was next? Did I say Mel was, I think?
Ahead, yeah, Mel. I forgot to. Thanks, Coach. Hey, one thing I forgot to mention about the commissioners' meeting is one of the main things that they're working on is the vaccines. And the first thing that they mentioned is what percentage of Fairfield County has gotten their vaccines, and you know how many stations they're setting up. Once they set up the vaccine stations at the mall, you know there's going to be a higher percentage. So you know that's really what we're there pushing back against.
And we have some, Mel, we have our religious leaders, Franklin Graham, Robert Jeffress, are telling us to take the vaccination, folks. It's unbelievable.
That's the plan. I mean, they've been recruiting influencers, and, you know, they're very organized.
Yep. So Planned Parenthood's probably behind the vaccinations because they're eliminating some of the little babies creating the images of God. And Brett Bull, you're right, Brett. Come on in. I'm not going to steal your thunder. Come on in. I'm going to say what you were going to say.
Well, go ahead. So what were you going to say, Coach?
I was going to say we got to get a letter jacket for Spencer because yes. He is on top of it like I've never seen. Go ahead.
Way to go, Spencer. You nailed it today. But, guys, I also got to bring up with March Madness and the basketball, I'm a huge fan of the Baylor, both coaches, Drew, the men's, and then Mulcahy, the women's coach. But she came out on ESPN yesterday and said, we need to stop the COVID testing. Stop it. First big-time coach to come out and say it. So I got to dig into that, cover her in prayer. She'll be canceled. But the Baylor women's coach just lost to UConn. Controversial call. But she came out and no more COVID testing. Love it.
Wow. Wow. Amen. Oh, man. Oh, Lord, help us.
She's the first one with stones.
First one
with stones.
Cancel it, man. Cancel it, right? Oh, man. Everybody, there's all kinds of.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, go ahead.
Don't tell me that women aren't leaders. Women are warriors, man. And I will proudly walk side by side with them. Let's go.
Amen. 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 Come on in, Silver.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
No, that's the deal. No C COVID. Knock, knock.
Awesome.
Knock, knock. No COVID. No mask. No vaccine. No ask. That's what somebody gave me that slogan the other day. No mask. No vax. No ask. No max. Mask. No ask. No vax. Same thing. Folks, listen. Come on, man. Come on, man. We're not ignorant of his devices. The enemy is using everything they have to do what? To tell you to take vitamins? To tell you to get your immune system up? To tell you to get yourself in shape? Or is all of the media telling you to take a vaccine? Now, I don't know how smart you have to be to figure out the devil's team is telling me to take a vaccine. I'm going to think long and hard before I do that. Why would the devil's team be all of a sudden worried about me and want to take care of me and want to make sure that I don't? Why would the devil be worried about that? I think I might listen to that other voice over here that says, what? No mask, no vax, no ask. I think maybe the same guys who are aborting babies want me to take a vaccine. And the vaccine is causing miscarriages and pastors aren't going to speak up? Are you kidding me? And I'm going to find myself in the midst of this cold and timid souls who knew neither victory nor defeat. I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to do that. So what's the word of the day? What's the word of the day? Not observe, but practice. 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 Teaching them to practice all things I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Let's belly up, man. Let's go get him. God bless you. Great show, man. See you tomorrow.